Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the American Marketing Association Sitecore webcast. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. If at any time during the conference you need to reach an operator, please press the star followed by the zero. To submit questions for the Q&A session, please use the chat feature located on the lower left side of your screen. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, February 4th, 2010. I would now like to turn the conference over to the moderator for today's webcast with the American Marketing Association, Anna Carbonaro. Please go ahead, Sid.
Hi, James. Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Anna Carbonaro with the American Marketing Association, and I will be moderating today's webcast. The AMA provides you with this webcast as one of the many special programs we offer to the marketing community. We invite you to participate in this biweekly ongoing series of free web seminars to help you drive the greatest return on your marketing investments. Whether it's in marketing research, advertising, promotions, or other key areas of marketing, such as today's discussion titled, Molding Your Customer Experience with Content, Personalization, and Campaign Management. Join us every week for informative web seminars featuring some of the most prominent thought leaders in marketing today. Just visit marketingpower.com/webcast for information and enrollment. And while you're there, I'd like to invite you to visit the resource section, and there you will find helpful white papers, case studies, and information on upcoming webcasts and podcasts. Also, be sure to take a look at the AMA's Marketing Career Network, where we have an exclusive online job board for marketers and a database of over 40,000 highly skilled marketing professionals and over 14,000 employers. Before we get started today, I always like to address these two commonly asked questions up front so you can sit back and enjoy the presentation. Will you be able to get a copy of today's presentation? And will you be able to view a recording of this webcast? And the answer to both of these questions is yes. As an attendee of today's live event, you will receive an email that will contain the slide presentation and the recording link. In the meantime, you can always visit marketingpower.com/webcast to listen to the recording. I also like to take this time to remind you that we will have a Q&A session towards the end of this event. We're looking forward to a very interactive webcast, so please type your question anytime in the chat box located in the lower left-hand corner of your screen and click send. And don't let the conversation end here. Continue the conversation on Twitter by using #CustomerExperience. We have a really great webcast in store for you today, and the AMA is pleased to present today's marketing thought leader. We have Jeffrey Bach, principal of Bach & Company, and Darren Guarnaccia, vice president of product marketing with Sitecore. Let me tell you a little bit about both of them. Jeffrey focuses on strategies for content management and collaboration. A technology analyst, researcher, and visionary, Jeffrey has authored hundreds of reports, case studies, and articles on the business impacts of emerging technologies. And now let me tell you a little bit about Darren. With 20 years plus experience in technology management consulting and over 12 years of deeply focused on web content management and internet strategy, Darren has blended his technical, marketing, and sales expertise to help organizations harness web technologies to improve business performances. And with that, I'll now turn the webcast over to Jeffrey. Jeffrey, it's all yours.
Thank you very much, Anna, and good morning or good afternoon, whatever time zone you happen to be in. Today we would like to have a conversation between Darren and myself on molding the customer experience and how you can use campaign personalization, content personalization, and campaign management to help shape your market. We believe that the web is actually changing the way marketers can interact with customers, and it's very important to engage customers, to gauge their interactions, and then to think about how best to personalize the results. We want to give you an overview about how to do this and some tools, some techniques, and tips about best ways to proceed. So that's my introduction. Let me pass it over to Darren.
Thanks, Jeff. And just to echo what Jeff had mentioned, I think one of the impetuses behind this material that we generated was that we keep hearing from customers. In my daily basis, I spend a lot of time with analysts and customers, and a lot of technology has been generated lately, and you probably get emails every day with the latest, greatest, next thing that can solve all your marketing woes. But I think there's a lot of there's a big gap in the market around just helping people understand how do you get started with this. And how do you really put this into practice? I mean, sure, the technology is there and can do that, but oftentimes I hear from customers, well, okay, that's great. I can implement all this stuff, but what should I implement? And what, you know, if you're talking personalization and campaign management, what kind of rules should I use and how should I target? And so a little bit of today is going to be not about the technology, but about the thinking process for how to engage with that technology and how to actually use some of this great technology that's been really emerging in the market. And the market has been churning out some really great stuff lately. So today's webinar is really the takeaways for you is going to be the thinking process and maybe even some tactical things you can take away that you can bring back to your organization and say, okay, here's how we can get started. Jeff?
Yeah, and as part of that, Darren and I have been working together pretty closely over the last 3 or 4 months on some of these problems. So I think another part is we're going to have a conversation between the two of us about what are the important things and what issues should marketers begin to focus on and pay attention. And one of the things that we've seen is really a key driver for marketing going forward is thinking about the best ways you can engage your customers. It's one thing to be engaging your customers when they walk in the door of a store, but on the web and over the and online and remotely, there's a whole different kind of engagement process that I think we need to begin thinking about.
That's a really good point, Jeff. In fact, this slide really talks a little bit about that concept here. This is a survey that was done by Forrester. And they went out Aberdeen, and they went out and they interviewed a whole host of customers, over 100 plus companies, to understand, you know, what are their major ways of interacting and engaging with customers. And they found that the number one and number two drivers and the number one most important channels for way of reaching customers is really the website and email. Yet these environments tend to be under invested in, and the attention tends to be underdeveloped, because if you look at some of the other things below it, we spend a lot of time managing the customer experience with our salespeople, training them, our inside salespeople, maybe our call center reps, telemarketing. We spend an enormous amount of time and money on trade shows, yet time and time again I hear about anemic budgets in the web and even email interactions, and we just don't spend the same amount of time in these two channels, which happen to be the most important channels now. When it, you know, as the market has really changed, everyone has really shifted to these channels, yet we still don't really invest the same level of effort and the same money and time that we do into the web and in the email. And I think that is really telling. I think that's an important thing to consider. And Jeff, if you go to the next slide, you'll see that this is a survey that was done by Forrester, and they've been ranking and analyzing some of the top 1,300 websites, and they've done reviews on these top, you know, these are the largest companies out there, and measuring them on the ability to engage customers, the ability to have a good experience, and be proactive in their engagement with their customer base. And you can see here that 70% of these customers are not making the grade. And that is crucial. The passing grade here is not being met by the majority of the customers. You can see that huge line to the, or this huge amount of sites to the left of that dividing line, the pass-fail line. This is a problem for all of us. This is something that, and this comes directly from the fact that I don't think we're investing heavily enough in not just the technology of our websites and things like that, but the staffing and really even taking a step back and thinking about what is the customer experience for my visitors, my customers, when they come to the website, and taking a step back and looking at that as you think about that in all these other channels, as you think about how you're doing that when they call the call center. You're scripting that out. You're spending time to really script that experience. You're doing the same thing with your salespeople. You're helping them understand exactly what kind of process they need to follow. You're thinking about these in other channels. You've thought about this in your other campaigns, your offline campaigns, direct marketing. And so I think the thing that we really have to take away from here is the problem today is really an attention problem. Now, what we're going to give you today is some tactical methods and ways to get after some of these ways, the ways to improve some of those from a process standpoint. But I think it's important to understand, the issue that we face. So, Jeff?
So really the problem is that you have a channel here that has enormous potential, and you have But in fact, the website and the email and all these different channels are not living up to the potential. And you may want to say that we're suffering from attention deficit disorder. We're basically publishing, we're taking the web and we're making it into a marketing channel as if we're simply publishing things out there. And we're not really focusing on the interactivity that's just underneath the skin, that's just underneath the surface of the web experience. And so what do you need to do? Well, we like to say you need to focus on the customer scenario. You need to take an outside-in perspective and work backwards from the outcome of what you want people to do, the outcome of the information exchange, the beginning of the experience. You want to create an environment where there's a lot of listening and responding. And if you will, almost the website can begin to follow the instincts of a live sales interaction. In techie terms or in marketing terms, you want to basically add intelligence to the outcomes of your interactions. Practically, what does this mean? It's a scripting process, but you want to begin at the end point of what you expect the customer to be doing, what actions you want them to take, and then you want to define the sequence of steps and the sequence of results that are going to lead them to this, to these actions. In effect, you're really scripting a set of conversations, and you want to actually understand what are the words and phrases, what is the information you need to provide, how best do you want to begin to engage them. At least that would be my perspective.
You know, Jeff, I'd add to that that this sounds a lot like in my time in sales, what we used to do with inside sales reps, really scripting out that conversation and really helping them understand the questions to ask and the ways to respond to those questions to move the customer further along in the process. It does kind of resonate that way, in that very customer-centric way. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think it really does. It really is a way of scripting the interactions and sort of providing a range of content, a range of online information that would help address your customer's concerns. So it's not only just telling them about what you're doing, but also being able to engage with them and help them better understand how you can solve their problems. And really not just sort of marketing the products or marketing directly, but actually focusing on the problems and the solutions that you bring to the table. And the other thing, Darren, is that it's not only just text and it's not only just brochureware. Now we're living much more in a richly interactive environment, and people, I think, expect the interactivity of the web, the video clips, the sounds, the getting started guides, and things like that. It's a much more complicated environment than we've had before.
I would agree.
And so I think a part of that is that then going forward is we want to focus on a process for creating these customer scenarios. It's important to begin with this notion of creating a 360-degree view of the customer and really put the customer at the center of all of your interactions. What do you think about the 360-degree view, Darren?
You know, that term has been around a really long time, hasn't it? I remember first hearing about that as an IT manager back in the early 90s. And I was buying a CRM system, and my CRM salesperson was espousing the power of the 360-degree view of the customer. Now, of course, back then we didn't have really the Internet. Al Gore hadn't theoretically invented it yet. And, we had all we had was these offline interactions. You would email them, you would phone call, you'd make a phone call. They might visit you in a trade show. So our world back then was 360 degrees of the offline experience. I think what's happened now is that these channels, these new channels, email particularly and the web, have really defied this 360-degree view. So this notion of now understanding that customer across all the channels and not just the traditional offline channels, but all of them offer such an amazing opportunity for us to really understand that customer and to serve that customer very well. And once you start to do that, if you think about this center section here, that the heart of every one of these interactions is really knowing your customer. And we've seen a lot of this happen in the marketplace. You've all probably seen this new notion of the term customer intelligence. In fact, Forrester recently renamed their outbound marketing team research to customer intelligence. So this idea of customer intelligence is really gaining a lot of traction and really understanding what your customer is and what they're doing, and it's the heart of what we're going to talk about. So Jeff, why don't you take us through the four steps here?
Yeah, and I would just sort of build up on that, because I think what's new is that we can begin to target content. We can begin to actually focus content on how it deliver targeted content over the web. How do you do that? Well, you begin by developing a set of content profiles. You take the content that you have, and you begin to build profiles around it, so you can actually profile what the content is and who it's good for. And as part of this profile, then the next step in the process is the second stage we're calling labeling the content for insight. In a sense, what you're trying to do is to create insight, create content that is insightful for certain groups of people, and you want to be able to actually market and tag that content as part of the overall experience. And the third step in this overall process is to target the content that shapes the experience. Well, here is, in fact, your online delivery environment that's able to take this rich amount of content that you've been able to develop and sort through it and figure out what is the right content to deliver to the right people at the right time. And the fourth part of the process is really to say, okay, well, how well are you doing? Can we assess the results? And again, this whole scenario has to be driven by the metrics. You need to be able to instrument your interactions. You need a platform, or you need an environment that's really going to be instrumenting what you're doing and allowing you quickly and in relatively real time to make adjustments on the fly, to adjust the knobs on your dashboard, and to continually better hone your message to target the 360-degree view of the customer.
So I'd add to that this idea of labeling content for insight isn't just for the customer's insight. It's for our insight into the customer. Because I think the classic theory around content marketing is very much around this idea that write content that appeals to the person, to the role, to the segment that you've got. And that's a brilliant idea, bringing them in, writing good content. It's not about your product, it's about the customer's problem. But the other half of that is, when they come to read that piece of content, now you know, you have a very good idea of who they are and what they care about, what their challenges are, what their issues are. So it becomes a way to really get inside the head of your customer, which a very good salesperson can do in the offline world. They can ask the right set of questions. They can ask those right set of things. So we're really bringing that same capability into the web. And what a good salesperson can do today, we've now been able to take that and actually bring that to the marketing team to say, okay, the web's going to start selling this stuff earlier.
So let's go on and talk about another step here, how you actually create content profiles. And I've seen there's been a number of questions on the chat windows asking us to be a bit more specific in terms of exactly what we're focusing on. I think let's take the case where imagine you're selling a digital camera environment over the web, and you want to engage the customers around the whole experience of marketing a set of digital camera experiences. Well, one of the things is to think about what are the skill levels. I mean, what are the customer-centric categories that you may want to have to help market a digital camera experience. You can focus on skill levels, you can focus on shooting interests, or you can focus on shooting conditions. But you need to go forward and actually define rather explicitly what are the categories and what are the attributes that you want to focus on, and then be able to begin to label the content that you're producing on your website for which skill levels are appropriate and which shooting interests are appropriate and how it best works. So what you want to do is to put yourself in the mind of the customers, think about how you're going to use your content and really use some of the familiar terms that they bring to mind. And I think you've certainly seen a lot of that, Darren, in a lot of the work you've done.
Yeah, and I'd say just to give you some actionable specific advice here, One of the things that people ask me is, well, how do I know what are these measures? Get your salespeople and your support people in a room with a whiteboard and ask them some very specific questions. What piece of information could you possibly know about your customer that would help you move them closer to a sale or closer to whatever it is you want them to do? Ask the people that service and work with your customer every day, what questions do they ask? And what you're really trying to do is expose a catalog of valuable pieces of insights and valuable pieces of information. In this case, it's a camera site, so we want to know, are they an amateur or a pro? Are they shooting? Are they going to shoot wildlife photography or landscape photography? You know, what kinds of conditions are they going to shoot in? Because that would help me sell. That would help me move that customer closer to a win, or whatever it is I'm trying to do with. Maybe it's customer service, and I'm moving them closer to a solution. But the questions that I want to ask, what we're really doing is setting up the inventory of information I would like to know out of my customers. And in a perfect world, if I could learn anything about them, what would it be? And this is the catalog you're building. You're building categories and attributes that help you get this. But the way to do that is to work with the people that work with your customers every day. And that's your salespeople, that's your customer support people, and anyone in a client-facing role. Get them in a room and start getting those questions on the board about what kind of questions they ask and what are the answers, and then what do they do with those answers? I mean, start to harness that kind of information. That is it's something you could take away tomorrow and run that exercise and start to learn what would your website be able to tell you that would help you improve your business results online.
Yeah, and let's sort of take this to the next level as well, about how you're labeling your content for insights. I think what's important to realize is that from a marketing perspective, you're not just pushing out a whole chunk of content. You're really trying to engage your customers with a lot of interaction. You want to keep asking yourself, are you producing the persuasive content that actually can bring people to you, that communicates the information you're trying to tell them about? If you're publishing information about a digital camera experience, is it the right information? Is it the information? Let's say your customer is a young family. Are you giving them information about how best to use your product for family situations? If another customer happens to be a wildlife photographer or somebody who likes to go hiking in the West, are you giving them the right information that will help them make the right selection? So your salespeople in your organization has all that information, but you as a marketer or you as the person building this interactive experience have to bring the information together, and you have to be able to organize it and carefully catalog the content that you're producing, so you can demonstrate, you can answer the question, are you publishing the right stuff? Do your customers value what you're publishing? Are you helping your customers meet their goals? And in many cases, marketing organizations, at least before in the years before the web, really had only very general ideas about what their customers wanted. Well, now in this digital interactive media, we can continually refine the kinds of information we can provide to customers and what the customers in turn are telling us about their own experience. And I think we can do that again by taking a look at the categories and attributes and organizing them in a systematic way. So I think you've had some experience doing that, Darren.
Yeah, so I saw a couple questions come in, too, about what's the difference between the top and the bottom chart. So the first chart here is really an inventory, right? First of all, take all your content and lay it down in a spreadsheet. In fact, there's a spreadsheet on sitecore.net. We'll reference it at the end that you can actually use as a starting point for this. Make a content inventory of every article, white paper, everything you've got on your website today, and start to map every piece of content across this set of categories and attributes you just defined in the last step. And work your way through and just index every piece of content and what categories and attributes it appeals to, it applies to, it would resonate with. This will give you a very good insight as to where your holes are. This will tell you that you've got some areas in the areas you would like to know where you're not actually giving them any content, right? So it'll help you know where you're missing and where your holes are in your content. So that's your first step. Find those holes, plug them. Write content, create some copy, you know, have a strategy to actually fill in those gaps. Because, again, we want content around these topics because this is going to help educate us on our customers' desires and interests and behaviors. So we really want to do that first. Now, the second step is once we've filled in all the holes, then we can start to measure, okay, well, how strongly does each of these pieces of content map to any one of these, you know, categories and attributes? In the case of skill level, you know, maybe the first piece of content, the product data sheet, maybe slightly applies to a beginner, but really professionals are very interested on a scale of 1 to 5. And you'll decide what your scales are too, and generally keep them simple. 1 to 5 is usually enough. I know there's going to be that one person that's going to want to go to 20 or go to 11. Keep it simple. And usually odd numbers are good, so you can have a midpoint. But I recommend 5 or 7. And once you do that, you build up a nice repository of the weightings of that so that over time you can apply all those values. And this is how you're going to learn about your customers. Now, there's great technologies out there. There's web content management technology. Sitecore, as an example, has this technology baked in to actually weight your content that way. Other analytics vendors, as an example, WebTrends has their scoring technology. They'll let you weight that content. But what we'll do is let you measure and weight every user visitor session and profile, understanding who they are, what they're interested in, and it gives you just a tremendous amount of insight into what they care about and what they're interested in and what they're trying to do. So, Jeff, can you talk about scripting a scenario?
Well, and then the next part is to really sort of continue on this is to script a number of scenarios about how customers are buying or what they want to get from their interaction with you. The customers are coming saying, well, I want a camera that is best for group family photos. Well, then what are the ways I need to think about the attributes of a camera? What are the different possibilities or features and functions that I may have? And customers are going to signal their interest by the content that they select on their website so that you, in fact, can begin to watch the content that people are clicking on, and then make some assumptions about who these people are and what it is that they're in fact looking at, and then actually dynamically change the information that you provide to the customers. So it's very much, Darren, kind of an interaction. It's a give and take. It's a back and forth around a set of marketing offers and responses that will help you to better understand your customers.
Absolutely, it is. You know, in a lot of ways, you're probably scratching your head and saying, "Well, isn't that just goals? You know, goals on my website, goal driven." You're right. It is. You know, you have a goal for your website. But what we're suggesting is you start to script the sequences of how to get people to those goals faster and to apply this profiling mechanisms to say, well, these scripts and these steps in this script or this sequence in this scenario map to these kind of people that care about this. So once you've got a deeper understanding of who these people are and what they care about, now you can more accurately focus them down on exactly what it is they care about and helping direct them specifically to the right set of calls of action or offering the right set of content. There's a whole variety of things, but this gets to the heart of what do I personalize to whom and how? And this is the answer, starting to understand what are the scenarios you're trying to drive them towards, and then now you understand who they are in a much more granular way because you use content to figure that out. Now you can actually direct them to either more of the right content, but also trying to move them closer and closer to a goal or conversion on your website.
Yeah, and so to take an example here on this particular this particular spreadsheet that's part of our analysis, the overall goal is that a lifestyle value will sell more cameras. And in this case, the scenario is about what are we going to do about getting ready for a family event. And we could have different sorts of conversational elements. These are the things that people would be doing in terms of building a family event. Well, getting everybody together, ensuring good lighting, making people pay attention, capturing the sound and the motion, capturing the mood. And what we're suggesting here is that you can have different kinds of content targeted at different people with different skill levels in this case, most of our content analysis winds up being appropriate for the amateur photographer as opposed to the semi-pro or the beginner. And that's an important thing to know, because that means that the kind of content that you really want to develop and surface on your website is really the helpful things that assumes you at least know what you're doing, but you're not good enough to be a semi-pro or a pro. And again, with that, you can begin to develop a wider range of content. You can actually catalog the content, tag it appropriately, and surface it in many different ways. So, but a part of that is actually being able to build in a whole targeting experience and actually be able to shape the experience by actually targeting it. And to some extent, you know, we've been talking about this sort of targeting for years. It's hardly rocket science, but we now have a much more powerful platforms and environments to do the targeting. Don't you think, Darren?
That's correct. I think that the technology's come a long way. I was doing these types of projects literally in 2001 and in 2000 even. And what I think is really changed is the technology has matured to a point where it's pretty out of the box anymore. But that's not the problem. As I mentioned earlier, the technology is hardly the problem. It's really knowing what to do. And so here's just a simple example. You measure the customer coming in the door. You know, are they a first timer, or they've been here before, and do I know something about them already? And if you've never been here before, you need to take some time to collect some of that information, right? Understand who they are. You know, a couple of pages at least to really understand, you know, what their interests are, what their area is that they're trying to solve for today. Again, all the profiling values that you're wanting. Every business is different. Some people are going to need a little bit of information for confidence. Some are going to want a lot. But as a point, you reach that critical mass where you know enough about them. You start looking for those top interests. You start looking for the top scenarios that you can be directing them to. And in the most simplest form, it could be a simple call to action, driving them to maybe a white paper offer, maybe it's a webinar, maybe it's to buy something. Really depends on your business, if you're B2C or B2B. And then at that point, you can either convert them or not. You know, they can either ignore the call to action, or they can engage. You know, and if they don't engage, then you keep messaging, keep looking for what's important to them, and keep offering them either call to action, related content. And the more you know about them, the more confidence and precision you can have in those offers that you make them. And if you do convert them, of course, then you can, you know, if it's a multi-step strategy, which we'll talk about in the end, you can move them to the next scenario. You can move them deeper into the funnel.
Can't you do a lot, Darren, with anonymous visitors, people you really don't know specifically?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you don't have to tag them and make them known by or register them.
No, that I guess, you know, when I say that the technology's come a long way, just what you can do with an anonymous person alone. Today, the technology will easily tell you where this person is from. It will tell you who they are, what their company name is if they're coming in from a company. And then these profiling engines can easily tell you all this rich information that we've collected from the content, all without them ever logging in. Now, if they log in, it's even better. Then you can mix this implicit profiling stuff with all the things they've told you about themselves. But you don't even, you can do all of this without them ever logging in.
So one of the things marketers, I think, need to realize is that there's a rich amount of information out there on the web that is not necessarily available on their, doesn't have to be generated from their own website. There's this whole kind of mashup thing that's going on.
Absolutely. Social media. In fact, I was watching some of the questions come in, and we'll take more at the end. But some of the questions around how social media play into this, social media is a wonderful credibility builder. And in fact, that social media and content, user-contributed content, can easily be a part of those scripts and those conversations. It could be building trust. It could be overcoming risk. It could be helping people realize, is this the right thing? That could be a part of your customer experience, helping validate their decision if they're buying something that's large and they want to make sure it's the right thing. You could be directing them towards community content. Likewise, you can be driving inbound traffic from external sources like Facebook and Facebook Connect, using this great content you're building, pushing some of that out to other channels like Facebook to use as a traffic source to get them in the door, and based on the fact they're coming in the door on that particular piece of content, seeds your customer profile already, because now you know some particular things about where they came from, why they came to you, and even sometimes some of the search words they used to find you.
Okay, so I think that's really important, because what you're really saying is that if you take time up front to carefully catalog your content and understand how the content is indexed, then you can really begin to surface it in all of these different ways of interactions. But what's been missing in the past is that marketers generally have not done the upfront work to actually carefully index their content, and so they don't have the control that they now is, that the potential is now out there for. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's fair. Although to be fair to the marketer, to the modern marketer, it's not been very easy in the past. It was a lot of glue stringing together six different systems and working with IT, and it's been a painful process in the past. I think if you look to a lot of the vendors in the marketplace, you see a lot of these vendors coming up with these online marketing suites. And what these online marketing suites are starting to do is stitch together all of these disparate technologies into a single cohesive application. And that is what has really started to make this stuff very doable with almost no programming. More and more of this stuff is becoming a non-programming exercise, which is what's going to really get it in the hands of marketers, because they just don't have the time, really, to work through a seven-month project with IT. They need it now, and they need to iterate fast.
So kind of to take it to the next step is that we're actually developing a very interactive and rich environment where we can actually think about sensing and responding. And what marketers do is we want to produce persuasive content, but in order to have persuasive content, you have to be able to perceive what's going on. And in order to perceive what's going on, you're going to have to be able to sort of you need the measurement capability, you need the detection and the measurement and the targeting capabilities. And a lot of this, what you're really saying, I guess, is that it really comes out by having done the upfront work to create the catalogs and to define the tasks and to think through what the customer scenarios happen to be.
So you have to know what you want to know. You have to know what you want to know. I think that's the biggest thing that no one has really taken advantage of is start with the questions you'd like to know. And it seems so simple when you say it, yet almost nobody does it. Know what you want to know about your customer and start from there.
But you want to know about your customer in sort of a very practical, actionable kind of step. So can you give me an example of what you'd want to know when somebody's selling a digital camera?
Sure.
From your own experience?
So I would like to know, in a perfect world, do they own a camera already? I would like to know, in a perfect world, what skill level they have, because that's going to depend on the kind of things I offer them. I would like to know how they're going to use that camera, in what settings and what contexts. So as a salesperson selling a camera, these are a whole list of things that would help me to know to be able to service them better and to sell to them better. And that's exactly what I mean. You want to know what you want to know. And if you can do that, if you can go through that process, and I know it can be sometimes painful to have to sit in a room with a bunch of sales folks asking those questions, but it is well worth your time.
And as part of that, in addition to asking the sales folks, it's also well worth your time to do a catalog of all the content that you have and figure out which is persuasive in what conditions, and then to identify the holes in your content of what additional kind of content do you need to create, because there's going to be much more small bits of content that you want to be able to surface online than the sort of lengthy product brochures or things like that.
Yeah, I would say that it's persuasive to whom, right? The one-size-fits-all visitor experience does not work anymore. So we know we need to tailor and adjust to different segments. We're much more effective when we do that. So it's really, there's content that's persuasive, but sometimes it's not persuasive to everyone. So who is it persuasive to is what you really learn.
Yeah, and I think as part of that, you want to focus on what your overall goals are for the interactions and be very goal-oriented. And that, I think, is really key when we think about how you organize marketing campaigns and what it means to be now campaigning with content. Because, in effect, we can now measure conversion rates pretty well. We can measure, and what's important is not measuring in the large-scale sense of saying, X number of people came to our website and our sales went up by Y%. That's certainly important. But at a much more granular level in terms of thinking about specific goals that would then impact an overall conversion rate. So we can do a lot more careful measurement about what's going on with our campaigning.
Agreed. And as I mentioned, you know, these tools are all starting to come together. You know, the ability to have multivariate testing embedded with my campaign tools, and now I can layer in a quantitative analysis of how good were these campaigns, how good were the leads. I can start measuring these leads against a lead score value. You know, how ready to engage are these leads? I can start measuring these against different segments and different personas and different profile types. So I can start to measure my campaigns in all of these other interesting ways because all these things are coming together that way.
And I think it's also important to point out this, that there are many different ways now to launch marketing campaigns in the online world. Certainly search engine optimization, personalized web content, web banner ads, and so forth. But at the same time, there's also a lot of offline marketing that's going on that still continues to be very effective. People still get a lot of leads out of trade shows. Direct mail still is working in various situations. And I think what's really interesting about going forward is that you want to be able to create a holistic view of all the different kinds of campaigns that you have running, and then combine all this information in a single environment. So it's not looking at one set of reports for one campaign for another campaign, but rather having an integrated view of all the different campaigns and the way you're able to nurture your customers. And I think that's really important going forward. And I think, and I think the way to do that is to begin to focus on different kinds of campaign dashboards. Here is an example of a campaign dashboard that we've created, where there'd be different site goals that are very actionable, different marketing campaigns. And we can begin to see what are the hypothetical conversion rates and then the campaign cost and the points to cost ratio. We can actually begin to manage our campaigns in a very dynamic and straightforward fashion.
Exactly. I think the thing that's important here is as you start to measure these different kind of goals on your website, the different goals are worth different things to your organization. They move them closer in different ways to the end result that you want. An example, I'll give you just a Sitecore example on what we do today. Sitecore uses these campaigns, and we measure the different kinds of actions that these campaigns bring to us. And we score those points against the relative value. You can think of it as a lead score, if you will. And we measure those. We add those points up, and we then divide that by what it cost. And that gives us our points to cost ratio, which helps us understand what are the best performing campaigns. Not from a total numbers delivered, that's important too. But we found in our own experience that in certain cases, either an SEO initiative or some Google ad buys, where we got some tremendous numbers of raw campaigns, but they were all terrible. They were bounces, and they were just here for the wrong thing. And that helped us very quickly readjust and reevaluate. So the quantitative side is very important too, and to be able to weight and score the actual actions on your website and those scenarios that you're building, plus the ability to weight and measure the different kinds of the kinds of people coming and what they care about and how interested are they and what is their lead score. All those things can be measured against a campaign, which really helps you to optimize your spending around campaigns.
But the other thing is to point out is that there's still plenty of opportunity for marketers' judgment in terms of how these campaigns evolve. When you take a look at the points per conversion, whether it's a 25 or 100 or a 15, that is, if you will, a back of the envelope kind of guess on the part of marketers about how valuable is an instant demo compared to just making a brochure request. And that's something that marketers begin to really get, know in their gut. Now, what's important here is that with this kind of analysis and these kinds of dashboards, marketers can incorporate their own judgment and their own guts about how things are working and help to make it more explicit by being able to run the numbers, take a look at the conversion rates, and then based on their conversion rates and their gut feel, you know, come up with a point-to-cost ratio that makes sense or doesn't make sense depending upon what they're doing. But I think it really is a way of taking the content that you're actually displaying on the web and beginning to better understand how this is helping you achieve your site goals. So I guess that the at the end of the day, what would be our prescription for interactive marketing? What would we say you need to take away? The first thing, Darren, I would say is this whole notion about engaging customers, gauging their interactions, and then personalizing the results. We're talking about an environment that is very much metrics and marketing. It's marketing driven, but there's a way of actually measuring what you're doing. And the way to do that is, again, by this notion of scripting the conversations by creating the scenarios and thinking through very specifically what are the steps along the way and what kind of content you need to have as part of that.
Yeah, I would say that the term I like to use in my 7 Habits presentation is learn how to learn. Put the infrastructure in to start learning, whether it's an analytics package you're using or an online marketing suite from a vendor. Learn, you know, put the infrastructure in place to start to measure this stuff, because there's huge value.
Well, and there's huge value in being able to publish content effectively in terms of what you're able to get out there online and how you actually combine it with email. I think what I've seen in the past is there's been a lot of email campaigns that have run alongside a parallel web campaigns, but the notion that you do web and email together is, I think, pretty revolutionary right now.
Yep, I'd agree.
What do you think? How do you do that?
The power of being able to tie the email experience, right? So you, based on website behavior, you generate an email or a campaign for a set of people that behave in certain ways and then drive them back to the website and continue the conversation is very much that episodic nurture marketing circle that we all, that's sort of the holy grail. And again, you're seeing that technology come out in a lot of these online marketing suites are starting to stitch a lot of that together. But I think the power of that is that it's a conversation now. It really is, because based on their behavior, that the last visit they had with you, you're extending that conversation and really very very targeted emails are getting sent to them now that is about the stuff they care about, which drives a higher amount of interactivity, which then drives them back to the website, and you can episodically move them forward and give them additional information. And if you think about how you sell to people, you're always moving them from one objection to the next, and so you can be actually proactively overcoming objections in that process.
And as part of that, I think the final point is also that you'd be able to track their experience across all of these multiple customer touch points. So what's really going to be key is that you can create an integrated view of the customer, this notion of a 360-degree view of the customer. It's all the different ways that you touch and interact with the customer, and it's all the different kinds of content that you're providing to your customers about what it is they care about and where do they go. It's a much more interactive environment than I think we've been able to do in the past.
And that, you know, that ties into just in general scripting the scenarios. I think, you know, the scripted scenario, it will increase conversion rates, but proactively thinking about the steps that you want them to move in, and it's a little bit of hard thinking sometimes to really think about what could possibly lead to conversions, but your past history, your past experiences, and understand talking to salespeople, customer service people, talking to even customers, and understanding what led them to the actions they did. Looking at analytics will give you a lot of that. But think about how to look at your best wins, your best conversions, and try and replicate that success.
So I see we're basically out of time at this point. We have about 10 minutes more left in the webinar. I think it's time to open it up to questions. So let me turn it back to you, Anna.
Okay, great. Thank you. That was an excellent presentation. And now I'd like to welcome everyone to the Q&A portion of today's webcast. We have some great questions in store for you today from our audience. And I'll move on to the first question. Can you give examples of customer scenarios?
Sure. So a good customer scenario would be, I'll go back to that simple camera site because it's an easy one to do. So a customer scenario would be that once I understood, and we'll use that skill level attribute again, I learn, first of all, I need to figure out what level of skill they're at. Once I figure out, the skill level, I want to start to offer them both content, inspiring content, because we know that in this case the lifestyle sell is the most powerful sell. So I'm going to offer them the things they can do with these cameras that we want them to buy. So I'm going to start to show them the kinds of pictures they can take, the kind of trips they can go on. I'm going to start to sell them also tips and tricks on how to get started because I let's say they're a beginner. I'm going to start to focus on a lot of that content that's going to get them excited about their empowerment with this new camera, all the things they can do. And those are all steps in the scenario because I know if I can get them excited, if I can get them emotionally bought in to that camera and to the things they can do, that there's a high degree of chance that they're going to buy that camera either online or they're going to go offline. But I'm getting them excited and I'm getting emotional buy-in. And so it's that kind of script, that a customer scenario that you would design out and then find ways to offer the right kind of content as they're browsing to push them through that sequence of content you really want them to see.
And then I just see we are getting a couple of questions here about the impact of social media on this. I mean, a lot of it is not just simply you providing additional granular content for your prospective customers, but also perhaps introducing them to a community of other people who might be considering buying or are interested in a digital photography experience and are really wrestling with the issues themselves. So the whole notion of camera reviews, what if, best tips and tricks for family photography, getting groups of people who are doing this together, surfacing that kind of content and making social content available as part of your ongoing dialogue is a very important thing to consider because you have so many different opportunities now in an online environment. You just have to really figure out what are the right scripts to do.
Okay,
good
great.
Point.
Thank you for that. And have you done this in B2B scenarios at all?
Absolutely. And B2B is this applies in B2C and B2B. B2B because of the longer consideration cycles, because people go through a pretty defined purchasing process. All of these are actually more relevant, slightly more relevant than even in B2C because of the longer consideration, the amount of touches that you're going to have with that customer, and keeping it alive over that very long time frame, these kind of concepts, and being able to have that scenario and that conversation happen cohesively and consistently across all of the many visits and all the many touches. And we didn't really talk about it today, but the idea, and actually there's a webinar we've got coming up here that's going to talk about bridging the online and the offline world, tying your sales reps into this in the B2B world and actually helping your sales reps understand where these customers are at from an experience standpoint and even letting them see that in a CRM system so that they have a view into the customer as well. That is another a very important point of all of this. That's really outside of the scope of this topic, but that also resonates very strongly in the B2B world.
But I think one of the other things that goes on in the B2B world is that many more people are involved in a decision-making process. You have decision-makers and influencers and supporters. Darren mentioned that it's a long-running process. It's not something you decide overnight. You come back, you want more information, you want to see what else is, who else is thinking about this information and so forth. And you can create these extended dialogues online we've never been able to do before.
Okay, great. Thank you. And with all the areas of content needed to cover the holes, how do you keep the landing page clean and easy to use?
So that's a really interesting question. So not just about landing pages. I think landing pages are important. And really the idea behind the landing page, my advice in general, is of course you have the call to action on the landing page. And you want to offer some expertise on your landing page. Really, the goal of the landing page is to either get them to convert or get them into your website to dig deeper, because again, you can use your website as this intelligence tool to understand who they are. So you can then, if you miss them on the first conversion, you can catch them on a more targeted conversion. So the idea is to offer a set of expertise on that landing page. So because you don't know enough about them yet, unless they've been here before. They've been here before, you can be very targeted. If they've never been here before and they're on the landing page, then you have to make some guesses about what's going to be interesting to them relative to the advertising that brought them to the campaign or the email. But your idea is drive them into the site based on offer of expertise, on how you can help them. And then once they're in the rest of your website, then you can start to message to them and start to help build up, you know, your own credibility as a company and why they should work with you. And get them, and at the same time you're learning.
Okay, great. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have something else to add?
No, I didn't. Let's go on to the next question. I think we have time for probably about one more.
Okay, great. And you had mentioned something about a worksheet. Can you please expand on that worksheet and its availability?
Sure. So Jeff and I wrote a series of white papers, and they're available out on sitecore.net. In fact, I think there's a link. If there's not a link on this PowerPoint deck, there will be a link in the email you'll get. The first white paper is Molding the Customer Experience. That comes with an Excel worksheet that has a lot of the tabs, have a lot of these spreadsheets, the screenshots you saw in here, with instructional text on how to do some of this and the process. So I'd encourage you to read the white paper, use the spreadsheet. It's a getting started point. You'll of course extend it and make it your own. But it's really a framework for how to think about this and how to actually build that inventory and that content, how to measure each of those values against, you know, it's the weight and ultimately how to apply that to a system that you're currently using. Jeff, anything to add?
Well, I think the key thing is this notion of being able to apply it, incorporate your own experience, and build it out in terms of what your own company and your own marketing environment needs, whether you're in a manufacturing industry or another services, hospitality, or whatever. There are many different ways to add to this framework.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I think we have time for one more question before we
close.
So moving on to the final question. For dashboard data, how do you establish points per conversation for each campaign?
That's very similar to how you create a lead score, if you ask me. And that is, it's a conversation with sales. Because the sales will tell you what's qualified and what's not qualified. And helping them understand, you know, what does a good lead look like, and what is a good what are those actions that lead to their most successful wins. So in Sitecore's example, when we measured all these things, we thought that reading a white paper is worth about 8 points. We figured out that watching some of our online videos on Sitecore.net were worth about 25 points, because that was pretty engaging, and we knew that would lead someone to really working, you know, to reaching out to us. And then we knew having someone take a demo was huge for us, because we knew that, you know, that our chances of really engaging with customers at that point were very, very good. So once we got them to the demo, we gave that 100 points. And so it really is it's all subjective, but what you really want to do is in context to each other, right? Which one's more valuable? How much more valuable? How much does that get them to be ready to work with you? Again, it's conversation with sales, much like lead scoring is a conversation with sales. But
I think what you said is it's subjective, but we always say when we're doing business, you got to put a stake in the ground. And you got to put this stake in the ground compared to another stake in the ground. And what the lead scoring is allowing you to do is to, in fact, come up with a metric, admittedly a back of the envelope kind of metric, but it's a metric nevertheless that allows you to begin to weight how much is something compared to something else. And then you can certainly change it over time. It's not a number that's cast in concrete. It'll change from campaign to campaign based on your experience. And it's one of the ways that you're able to learn just how successful you are, because you're able to recalibrate your lead scores.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's just important to understand that not all conversion goals, not all things, the actions and events they do on your website are equal. Some are worth more than others, and it's really about figuring out the relative values.
Okay, great. Thank you. Unfortunately, we are running out of time for today. This was an excellent webcast, and thank you, Jeffrey and Darren, for sharing your insights with us today.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And before we leave, I'd like to remind today's attendees that you will receive an email within a couple days containing a copy of today's presentation and a link to the recording, as well as links to the worksheet that was referred to. And you can always visit marketingpower.com in the meantime /webcast to listen to the recording. Don't forget to continue the conversation on Twitter by using and searching for #CustomerESP. And last but not least, I'd like to thank SiteCore, our generous sponsor, and ReadyTalk, our host for today's webcast. If you'd like to learn more about ReadyTalk, please visit readytalk.com/AMA. I'd also like to thank the audience for their participation. And remember to join us weekly for our Marketing Thought Leader webcast. This concludes our presentation for today. Thanks and have a great day.